Today on Real Radio.
There are teachers who have hung the Ten Commandments on their classroom walls and have been threatened with lawsuits.
Yeah.
We even know of a judge, a federal, U.S. federal judge, who was sued by the court system to have the Ten Commandments removed from his courtroom. So it's a pretty amazing thing when we as a nation are telling God to get out of the way.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, we step aside from our normal verse-by-verse study and talk about our transition from what we've been looking at, the book of James, for the past, how long have we been doing the book of James? It's been...
Since January, Davey.
Since January. So, and we're stepping into the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
I got to tell you, though, the book of James, I'm going to miss it because I've been paying very, very close attention to the studies, and I think I could listen to this stuff for a year and a half, and I'd be just fine with it. But that's me personally, because when I sit down to just open the Bible and read, I always just go to James.
That's excellent.
You know, I have my daily Bible study. I have my devotion. But when I'm sitting in a waiting room or something, I go into my smartphone. I read James. I love James. How am I going to miss James? Pastor Jack, tell me.
James is a great book to miss, Davey, because it's such a practical book. As we've been going through it, we've gotten great responses from the listeners because it is, as we've been teaching, that it takes what could easily be theory, that is Bible, Bible study, theology, which is great, but it can't be left there.
Yeah.
Theology is worthless until it's got its hands and its feet on and its voice and it's out in the street and the public square or in the home. And so James, as we've all learned, James is the how-to of your Christianity and a little bit of a spank when we're off, isn't it?
Yeah.
He really sets us straight on what is right, what is wrong, how we should be living as believers. And so he addressed quite a few things.
Now, I think the book of James makes me a better person, makes me a better everything.
Yes.
Makes me a better Christian.
Right.
Makes me a better human being, makes me a better dad, a better husband, a better brother.
Right.
Do you agree with me on that?
Absolutely. I think it's one of the reasons why people have a tendency to shy away from the book of James because it is a convicting book. And we shouldn't shy away from that. We shouldn't refuse or reject the Lord's conviction. That's how we grow. In correction. I mean, that's why we go, think about it, go to school, or that's why a loving mom or a loving dad will correct us, or now we as parents or grandparents would correct our children or grandchildren because we love them. And so James loves us, and he understands the love of God for us. And so when James tells us, don't be like this, don't be the kind of person that has favorites, he addresses that.
Yeah.
Don't show favoritism. God doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So why should you do that? I think the book of James should be part of every kid's curriculum, in my opinion.
Yeah. I have a nickname for the book of James, if you will. I call it the rubber meets the road book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bottom line.
Absolutely.
That's why I always end up in James. All right. That does it for James. I'm gonna weep a little bit.
It's online, Davey, at our website.
Right. Always promoting. That's excellent. RealRadioactive.org, by the way. We've got it online. Oh, you know what? While we're in this mode, let me talk about the three different ways that folks can actually get a hold of the series that you did on James. Activate Your Faith. It's a 3-CD set from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. It talks about being doers of the word, receiving the word of truth, practicing the word of truth, and sharing the word of truth. Now, you can get that in the 3-CD set if you'd like. And you can get Salvation, Faith, or Works. Loved that series, by the way. It's a 2-CD set from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And you can get all 23 full-length messages. It's our current special offer. If you send a gift of any amount to Real Radio, we're going to send you the James MP3 CD. It's got all 23 full-length messages. There you go. I'll give you more details on that a little bit later in the program. But first, let's talk about where we're going. We've been to James. Now we're going to the Ten Commandments.
We are going to the Ten Commandments.
You want to talk about rubber meets the road.
I got to tell you, I'm sitting over here on the other side of the microphone with a big smile on my face because the Ten Commandments just pretty much rocks the world.
Yeah, it does.
And it was intended by God to rock the world. And so, yeah, we're going to go to the Ten Commandments. It's a series that we did not too long ago, right here on Wednesday nights. And for those of you who are unable to attend, you're not in the Southern California area, We've got quite a romance going on here on Wednesday nights. The staff, we've all tried to figure out what's happening here. And what I mean by that is we have our Sunday services here at the church, and we recognize those people. Yeah. We've seen those people for years. Wednesday nights are a completely different church.
Yeah.
I don't recognize the people.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You walk through the front door and you go, who are these
Who
folks?
Are these people?
Right.
And what am I, an old guy, doing talking to all these young kids? These guys have come out of the high school campuses, the college campuses. They're coming on Wednesday nights. We don't know how that's happened, but we're not going to question God about it. We're delighted. But it's a whole different church.
Yeah.
And God blesses, packs the church out on Wednesday nights. And I thought it would be great to get into the Ten Commandments because of how relevant the Ten Commandments are today. In fact, they always, of course, are relevant. But it's quite a controversial issue today. For example, Davey, as we sit here, I can honestly say that it's one of the most controversial issues because when I look around at America today, it's this topic of the Ten Commandments that's caused protest. It's caused some lawsuits. And what I mean by that is there are teachers who have hung the Ten Commandments on their classroom walls and have been threatened with lawsuits.
Yeah.
We even know of a judge, a federal, U.S. federal judge, who was sued by the court system to have the Ten Commandments removed from his courtroom. So it's a pretty amazing thing when we as a nation are telling God to get out of the way.
So tell me this, in your opinion, why do you think that there is an attack on the Ten Commandments? Why are the Ten Commandments under attack?
I think it's simple. You cannot look at the Ten Commandments without taking a look at yourself.
Yeah.
That's why God gave them. The Ten Commandments serves as a mirror in at least two ways. Number one, it reflects back into our face who we really are.
Right.
There's a danger. We just learned it in James, that if you could look at yourself in the mirror and then walk away from that clear observation and forget who you are, that's a scary day. Mm-hmm. The Ten Commandments will not let you get away from yourself. The Ten Commandments says, I am a holy God. This is my perfect requirements for fellowship. And this is my demand.
Mm-hmm.
God demands perfection. When we look at the Ten Commandments, we throw our arms up and we say, who can be saved? Or I'm not so good after all. And you know, Davey, you and I live in such a fragile culture, such a profoundly insecure culture.
Yeah.
That if someone thinks like that these days, then, oh, that's a bad thing. Yet the Bible says, no, 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 that's a good thing. When we get convicted regarding our wrong, we are to go to God and ask for forgiveness. The Ten Commandments were given by God to show his holiness and to reveal our depravity, but not to condemn us, but to run to the feet of the Lord, hang on to him, and ask, Lord, please forgive me. Spare me from these Ten Commandments. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came and lived out the Ten Commandments in our place, and then, of course, died on the cross to forgive us of our sins.
What's the number? You and I have a friend in Israel, and he said to me, the Christians with their Ten Commandments, he says, we have so many more of them. Amir, how many were there?
That's right. There's 613 commandments that have been added on top of the ten.
Can you imagine if the American public in general knew that there were that many?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Even much more attack.
Yeah, but you know, the truth is, though, if you look at the first commandment, tells us that we ought to love God above all things.
Right.
I don't need a second commandment after that.
Exactly.
I don't need a 200th commandment.
Yeah.
I'm busted.
Yeah.
I do not. Yeah. When I wake up to the requirements of the law, I immediately am faced with the reality. I broke the first commandment before I even knew anything.
Yeah.
I have not loved in my life always God first. Sad.
Okay, so let me just throw this out at you. If you put the Ten Commandments in order, you've got the first one. That's all we need. Now, obviously, God gave us the order. What would you say is the second most important as far as, let's say, the American public in general? What would be the second most important commandment?
Wow. The
good question.
American public, the general public today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Because, look, there's a reason why the first is the first.
Right.
Because we do have other gods.
Mm-hmm.
So having answered that one.
Can you explain that? Reason I ask you to explain that is because somebody might just be tuning in for the first time.
Yeah.
And those of us as Christians know what you mean by we have other gods. I do, you do. But explain to the new person.
Absolutely. If there's something going on in your life whereby you derive your existence from it, could be your education. It's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It could be your wealth. It's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It could be somehow your achievements, your athletic prowess or something. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's something whereby that is your identity, and when it's scratched, you cry.
Yeah.
Or when it somehow gets a B instead of an A, you're devastated. or if the stock market dips, you're suicidal. Mm-hmm. That is a God.
Got it.
Whenever something externally outside the very person of the living God who created us becomes our barometer, it becomes our mood meter, that I can only be as happy as the stock market allows me,
yeah,
that is an idol.
Yeah.
That is a God. That is, in fact, making you a child of a lesser God.
So back to my question. If you looked at American society today and said, okay, we've got the first one, that pretty much wraps it up. What's the second one?
This may sound kind of corny to the listeners,
but
I don't see much of a difference between the first commandment and the eighth commandment, and that is thou shalt not steal.
Okay.
The eighth commandment about us stealing is a very important thing. Somebody might say, well, I don't steal. I haven't stolen a thing. God, remember, God looks on the spirit of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when we set ourselves up as our supreme ruler, our supreme leader, we are actually, I believe, robbing from God's rightful position.
Mm.
Thou shalt not steal. I'm not so concerned about you taking my donut, because I can survive that. And you can actually survive that. Thou shalt not steal, I see as a grave danger of putting yourself in the place of God, putting yourself, your agenda, your power, your ideas, your vision, your passion, so important to you that you've put it above God. I believe that you're stealing from the very authority and the presence and that practical God that he wants to be in your life. I think you're stealing from him. You're robbing a place from him that you do not have the authority to do.
So we're probably going to spend the next, I don't know, 5 to 8 weeks in the Ten Commandments. Why do you say we need to revisit the Ten Commandments? I mean, since I can go down to a courthouse here and there and read the Ten Commandments off the wall occasionally, why do you think that we need to spend time on the radio revisiting it?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Davey, as you know, we are a church that's very, very active in being active outside the walls of our church.
Yes.
That's a big deal to us.
Amen.
And so this church, its people, it's out in the public square in all areas. Having said that, America today seems to be pushing away from it all that is good, all that is historic, all that is right in the name of expediency and the name of political correctness, which is destroying us. I mean, it doesn't take an Einstein to see that the fruit of our very, very progressive ways are destroying us. For example, what is wrong with posting the Ten Commandments in our classrooms today? And you look down the list and it says, for example, you shall not murder. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with a child learning that God is watching me and I should not murder anybody?
Well, you're shoving that down my throat would be the classic response.
Yeah, exactly. You're shoving it down my throat. It causes my child to feel uncomfortable. Of course it does.
Yeah.
He was thinking about murdering his teacher, and now he looked on the wall and that caused him to have a second thought.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, since the mid-60s, when the Ten Commandments and prayer and all these things were attacked and or removed from our public square, I would just like to ask my culture this question. How's that worked out for you?
Yeah.
What's the safety level in schools these days?
Yeah.
What about pregnancy? What about violence? What about all the things that the Ten Commandments addresses? What's happened since we removed prayer or the Ten Commandments from our courtrooms or our school classes? What has happened? Our nation has absolutely gone down the tubes in the name of progressivism, where we've thrown out the Bible, and people are going to say, we're free. Look, we're liberated from all that Judeo-Christian puritanical view. Is that the kind of freedom we want? Is that really freedom? It's interesting, because Thomas Jefferson said that when we have God as our leader and his Bible as our book, that we'll have few laws that will govern us, because there'll be a fear of God. Now today, we have no God in our culture. We've got more laws than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And has that changed the human heart? No, it's worse now than ever. So the Ten Commandments, I would like to do this. If I was running for dictator of America, I would say, give me 1 year, everybody. Let's take a chill pill. Give me 1 year to post the Ten Commandments in all public areas. And let's just see what happens in 1 year. Let's see if crime goes down. Let's see if rape goes down. Just an experiment. Let's just do it like a social experiment.
Right.
Everyone will survive. It's not going to kill anybody.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the data. But you know what? We can't do that because someone might feel bad. And yet, what happened at Columbine? what has happened at these other shootings? What has happened as rape increases? What has happened? Someone pays the price for lawlessness. That's what we're seeing today.
There's one thought that I want you to address, and that is the folks that would say, oh, the Ten Commandments, they're so Old Testament. They're so for another time. They really don't apply to my life. Talk to me about that.
Wow. Okay, first of all, I love you, but that's a crazy way of thinking.
Okay.
God gave the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, all the way through. That's God's book.
Okay.
The Bible says, Jesus said it himself in Matthew chapter 5. He says, don't think I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I've come to fulfill. That means the Old Testament, Jesus honored and declared it to be the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Now, having said that, the Ten Commandments is so eternally, constantly relevant because it deals, for example, you shall not murder. Think about how current that is. Think about how futuristic that is as well.
Yeah.
It's not only a declaration of the past, but it deals with us today, and it deals with our future as we arrive at it, and our entire judicial system in the United States and in the Western world, for that matter, is based upon the Old Testament laws given in Scripture. So look, the Ten Commandments, as it were, is a fence that God gave to rightly protect a society from itself while all the time pointing to the righteousness of God.
Talk to me about Moses and the law.
Absolutely. Known as the lawgiver, Moses, God speaks to Moses and says to him, these are the rules, these are the guidelines that a nation that's about to be born is to be kept by.
Right.
And so, by the way, no culture, no society can survive without laws. And so, isn't it interesting that God gives to Moses these 10 laws, these 10 precepts or principles to live by that have not only proven to be successful, but have been the foundation for our own national laws in our own country. Our founding fathers, specifically Samuel Adams, cited the validity of the Ten Commandments. When the Continental Congress met, there's some 1,500 sightings of Scripture lifted out of John Locke's treaty on government that they use, by the way, the writings of John Locke regarding the formation of our government here in America. And it's interesting because it all has to deal with what God gave Moses on Mount Sinai in the book of Leviticus. It's laid out there in Exodus. God has shown it to us. And no nation to this hour, Davy, no nation has enjoyed the civility that the United States has enjoyed, but it's not because we're different than other people. What was different about us is that we had God's guidelines.
Right.
And interestingly enough, as we said earlier, you get away from those guidelines and Americans decline into a sense of lawlessness, almost anarchy, because as the scripture says, if you remove the ancient boundaries, what will the people do?
So the fact that you and I can go look up the fact that John Locke used all these scriptures and all these references that we talk about, we can go look that up. And it's black and white. Why in our culture today is it not just denied, but hated?
I think it comes down to the fact that truth convicts. Look, we're talking about progressivism and all this kind of stuff. History is an assault. It is an antibiotic to revisionism.
Mm.
And yet, you look at many historians today that are worth anything, they will tell you today, regarding American history, for that matter, Jewish history, world history, you really need to avoid things that have been written after the 1920s.
Why is
because of the revisionism that's taking place in our modern historical view of things. It's quite corrupt and sad. So the Bible itself is an affront to people who want to change history. And Moses won't let you get away with that. The Bible won't let you get away with it. I mean, it is truth. I tell you what, last night at church, I was excited to tell the church body in our time of devotion that we as Christians, we didn't sign up to join some club. We're not in this gig for some perks. Our faith is founded upon fact. That's an awesome thing. We can read in the Bible, go get a shovel and dig a hole in the ground at that location and find pottery and coins. Our faith is founded upon fact.
You really stand some hair up on the back of people's necks, though, when you say that, okay? I'm sure you'll agree with that.
Yeah.
What do you say to that person right now that's going to turn the radio because he's so mad at you for hearing that?
Yeah, what are you afraid of? What is it that you believe it must be so documented, right? What you believe, it must be so true. You're so convinced of what you believe that wouldn't you die for it? If you don't have that, then what are you doing playing with it? My Christianity, I'm not a Christian because it's cool. I'm not a Christian because I'm an American. I'm a Christian because of overwhelming evidence. The facts declare linguistically, scientifically, historically, archaeologically, and for that matter, psychologically and sociologically, my very being is in agreement with what God has declared in His Word. I can't run from God. I can't get away from God. If I take the wings of the morning and flee to the uttermost parts of the earth, He's there. His evidence is overwhelming. And so what I'm saying, Moses and the Ten Commandments stands like granite to a culture that says, God is real, deal with it. And why would somebody draw back from that? Honestly, it's not intellectual that they would draw back. Yeah. It's a spiritual issue. They don't want this God to look inside their soul. And the very looking inside of the soul by this great God is your only hope of eternal life through Him.
So don't turn the radio off. Don't run away from looking at yourself in right. the mirror, looking at yourself in the reflection of the Ten Commandments.
Right. Kind of like this, Davey, but there's more. Right? Because listen to this verse.
Go ahead.
Galatians 3:23 says, "But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would come afterward or be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." See, the law convicts us. We get sick to our stomach because we got our proverbial hand caught in the proverbial cookie jar. We're busted.
Right.
And instead of denying, my hand's not in the jar, that's not a cookie jar,
yeah, yeah.
We run to God like any little kid who's in trouble does. Run to their parent and try, by the way, when we do that, we try to change the topic.
Right.
Daddy, I love you. I love you. Don't spank me.
But I still do that.
That's right.
Dear God.
That's right. Dear God, I love you.
I'll do anything you need.
Yeah. And when we do that, when we're convicted by the law, we run to the Lord, and there we find safety and forgiveness. Because, you can't have Jesus Christ as Savior unless you know that you're lost. And you'll never know that you're lost unless you look at the law. The law is God's tool to get you to embrace salvation, that is faith in Jesus Christ alone.
So, Pastor Jack, what do you hope we as listeners will come away with as we go through this Ten Commandments series?
Exactly what happened here on these Wednesday nights, exactly that, which is this, that we had predominantly very young people in the sanctuary come with Bibles in hand.
Right.
And probably, I think, on the introduction to the Ten Commandments, their eyebrows were a little raised, like, how in the world can this help me?
Right.
By a few studies into it saying, I can't wait for next week. I had no idea. I didn't realize that this is going to be that relevant in my life. Because what we do is we unpack each of the Ten Commandments and then ask, how does this go on in your life? How is this happening or not happening in your life? And so, look, this is amazing. We went through the Ten Commandments and the attendance grew. So I want that to happen to our radio listeners, that the Ten Commandments will become incredibly applicable. But David, this way, applicable to the sense that I can't save myself. There's a lot of people out there today that will take these very Ten Commandments and say, hey, I'm pretty good. I mean, I got like 8 out of 10.
Right.
And what they're doing is they're very legalistic. They're very self-righteous. Actually, what's happening is the exact opposite of why God gave the Ten Commandments. It was to convict them. But they're legalists today, Pharisees today. When Jesus said, for example, if a man looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he has already committed adultery. That's the spirit of the law.
Right.
The Ten Commandments is no longer something to be refused. It's something to be joyfully, wonderfully pursued. Because if I do, I'm going to be a good neighbor to you. If I do, I'm going to be involved in my culture. If I do, then I'm going to be somebody who's an asset to your life, not a debt.
So if you'd like to get in contact with us, here's our web address, realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or you can give us a call if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO. That's toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. And don't forget, for your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we will send you James, the MP3 CD set, 23 full-length messages. Pastor Jack, thanks for our time together today.
My pleasure, Davey. I love it.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and
Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.